PowerPoint up. Good morning again. Thank you so much for having me. I would be remiss if I didn't say greetings from Milton Keynes. I worship at a Baptist church in Milton Keynes, and everywhere I go, the pastor is always saying to me, take our love and greetings. So greetings from Milton Keynes. They are going to be starting at 10:30, so we're a little bit ahead of them this morning. But it is great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me. This is the third time I've been with you, but some of you may not remember, I work for an organisation called Outreach UK. We've been around for 150 years under different names, and what we do is this. We look out for people who have the gift of evangelist. We look out for people who God is calling to be evangelists. Now, we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to tell other people about Jesus. But there are some to whom God gives a specific gift. So we look out for those people. And when we find them and when they find us, we bring them into a family of evangelists. We provide literature for them. We provide support for them. We provide help for them. Currently, we've got 74. Hopefully, that's about to jump to 76. Scattered all over the country, and there are four of us who are employed by the organisation to look after the other 70. So I get to look after the evangelists in the east of England. I was recently up in Norfolk visiting our evangelist there, a young girl called Heps, a young family. I knocked on the door, she opened the door, she was crying. I thought, oh crumbs, this is the effect my visit has had. She's crying. And she threw her arms around me and she said, Andy, my neighbour's just become a Christian. I've been running an Alpha course. She was so excited. I was in Farnborough recently in Hampshire with our evangelist there called Sally. Sally rang me up. She said, there's a brand new housing estate in Farnborough. We need to introduce people there to Jesus. We need to tell them about the church. So I spent 2 hours with Sally in Farnborough. We were doing door-to-door work. We've got other evangelists all over the place. Elijah over in Colchester is doing work amongst homeless people. So they're all doing different bits and bobs. Some are running Christianity Explored. Some are running Alpha. Some are doing street work. Some are doing door-to-door. It's quite incredible what they're doing. So I get to look after them. So this week I'll be in Ipswich on Tuesday with our evangelists there. And then on Wednesday I'll be in Guildford with one of our evangelists there. That's what I do. If you want to read about what our evangelists are up to, I put some copies of our latest magazine, very kindly, thank you church, on the table at the back. Please do have a look at that. It's really, really, really exciting. I know I'm biased, but it really is exciting to see what God is doing right across the country through our evangelists. So please have a look at that. And then there's one other thing I do, which is the next slide. As I mentioned earlier, I write for a Christian men's magazine. This is called Sorted. There's a sample copy at the back. Sorted is edited by my very good friend Steve Legg, who some of you will know. Steve is a comic and a magician, and he's an evangelist. And we write this magazine for ladies love it. Ladies love it. It comes out 6 times a year, £36 to subscribe. If you want to subscribe, great present for Father's Day, by the way. Great present for Father's Day. 6 magazines a year. And we interview famous people who are Christians, and we write about sport and movies and music. If you do want to subscribe, there's some forms at the back. They've got a little red dot on them. If you use one of those, I get commission. Just saying, okay? Just saying. Next slide. Steve, however, does value prayer. I know I was talking to your minister before the service. He knows the name Steve Legg. The editor of our magazine last April was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. He was told he would be dead by September last year. Now, Steve is still with us. He's still out preaching the gospel. He's still out sharing Jesus. On Steve's medical notes, it actually says the only explanation for Mr. Legg being alive is an act of God. It actually says that on his medical notes. When he was with the oncologist just before Christmas, the oncologist said to him, Mr. Legg, we don't understand why you're not dead. Steve said, I do. I do. He's written a book. It's called The Last Laugh. It's a fantastic book about what it's like to be a Christian and be diagnosed with terminal cancer. I really want to recommend it to you. Really want to recommend this book, The Last Laugh. It's a fantastic book. The last chapter on heaven is just about the best thing I've read about heaven outside the Bible. It really is. If you know someone who's suffering, if you know someone who's got cancer, this is the book to give them, because it's a life-affirming book about what Jesus does for you in the midst of suffering. It's a terrific book. The other reason there's a blank book up there is because I've got a book coming out, and I'd value your prayers for that. We're hoping that my book will be out in June, and guess what it's about? Movies, absolutely right. Movies and the Christian faith. So I've got a book coming out as well. Can we move on to the next slide, please? It is amazing what provides the inspiration for a sermon. A couple of weeks ago, I came downstairs, I made myself a cup of coffee, made myself some toast, put the television on and started watching Good Morning Britain. And on that particular episode, that particular morning of Good Morning Britain, Susanna Reid was interviewing somebody who was scared. You could tell from the interview, you could tell from the body language of the person that Susanna Reid was interviewing that this person was terrified. And as soon as I turned the TV on and as soon as the camera focused on this person, I knew that this lady was really, really worried about something. It transpired that what this person being interviewed was worried about was the end of the world. Nuclear war. She's worried about the situation in Russia. She's worried about the situation in Ukraine. She was worried about the situation in the Middle East. And she was worried about nuclear war. And the end of the world. And I sat there and I thought, do you know what? I'm not. I might worry about the people that I love. I might worry about the people I care for in terms of what's going to happen. But as an individual, I'm not worried. And I went back in my mind to the passage that was read to us earlier, and in particular to one of the Beatitudes, for confirmation as to why I and you, if you're a Christian, don't have to be worried about Putin, about Hamas, or about the end of the world. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Let's just pray for one second. Father God, we're going to look at one of the great statements that Jesus Christ made in perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached. And we pray that as we do so, you will show us, teach us, encourage us, bless us. And above anything else, you will show us that there is no need for us, if we are trusting you, to be concerned about the end of the world and what's coming, because it's all in your hands. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to show you a photograph. This photograph was taken a couple of years ago. I'm out with some friends on a Sunday afternoon. We're walking down a hill towards a very beautiful lake. Now that isn't, however, isn't any ordinary hill, and that isn't any ordinary lake. The hill is known as the Hill of the Beatitudes. So this is traditionally, it's the hill where for 2,000 years Christians have identified it as the place where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. So if that's the Hill of the Beatitudes, the lake is Galilee. Thank you, Paul. Some of you will have been. That's Galilee. We'd been out on a boat earlier in the morning. Halfway down the Hill of the Beatitudes, there is a clump of trees. And you can sit underneath these trees, and it felt so authentic. We sat there looking at Galilee. Our leader of our group leant against a rock and he read to us the Sermon on the Mount. And we sat there as those disciples would have done, possibly under trees, probably on that very hill, listening to Jesus' words looking at Galilee. I have to tell you, it was one of the best Sunday afternoons of my entire life. But as we sat there, we of course heard the Beatitudes read. And there's one beatitude in particular that came to my mind when I was watching Susanna Reid interviewing somebody who's scared about the fact that the world might be heading for nuclear war. And it was this one, the one that you find in verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but when we read scripture, one of the things we need to do is put ourselves in the place of the people who were there originally. So I want you to imagine that you were there on that hillside, you're listening to Jesus, he's leant up against a tree maybe, or against a rock, and he's preaching and he's teaching, and he says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Of all the Beatitudes, I think this one might have caused some of the disciples to put their hand up and say, hang on a minute, Lord, stop right there. Next slide, please. Thank you. I think the disciples would have found this confusing. I think some of them would have found it exciting. I think some of them would have been amazed at Jesus' words. I think some of them, think of Judas, think of Simon the Zealot. They were looking for a Messiah who was going to come and kick out the Romans. And here's Jesus saying, the meek will inherit the earth. They must have thought, great. We're the meek. We're the lowly. We're the humble. Jesus is going to come and kick the Romans out. We're the meek. We're going to inherit the earth. Maybe some of the disciples got confused. How can this be? We've got to put ourselves in their place as they heard these words 2,000 years ago. Some of the disciples would have been confused. Hang on a minute, Lord, we're the meek. How are we going to kick out the Romans? We're not the ones inheriting the earth. The Romans are the ones inheriting the earth. They're the ones in charge. Their empire stretches right across the known planet. How on earth are we, the meek, supposed to inherit the earth? Put yourself in their shoes hearing those words for the first time. They must have been confused, but I bet some of them were really quite excited. I bet some of them thought, this is it. This is the guy we've been waiting for. Jesus is going to boot out the Romans. However, in order to fully understand what Jesus was saying, there are three words in this sentence we need to focus on, and we're going to put them up. These are the three words that we need to really understand their original meaning in order to get Jesus' original intention. They are the words meek, the words inherit, they are the words earth. And what I'm going to do is we're going to put up on the screen the Greek equivalent. And if you learn nothing else this morning, if you take nothing else away from church this morning, you will have taken this away with you. So the Greek word for meek is the word paros, 1, 2, 3. No, you're going to say paros, all right, after 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Right, so you can go away tomorrow, you can impress your friends and your neighbours with your knowledge of Greek, okay? That's the Greek word for paros. The Greek word for inherit is Kilimanjaro. No, it isn't. It's Kilronia. I don't know what Ron has done to be killed, but never mind. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. Klin-ron-oma. And I love this. I love this. The Greek word for earth is the yengi. The yengi. 1, 2, 3. You live on the yengi, everybody. Now, when I was at college, some of us were rubbish at Greek. When I was at theological college, we had to learn Greek. And I well remember one test where I was sat next to my friend and we had to define certain Greek words. And one of the Greek words we had to define was the word paralytikos, and that means paralyzed. My friend nudged me and I looked over his shoulder, cheating a bit, and he'd written down the word drunk against the word paralytikos. That was his definition. We're going to just look briefly at each of these three words. If you like, this is my 3 points this morning. In order to fully understand what Jesus was saying, and in order to clear up some of the confusion that Jesus' words may have caused in the minds of those first disciples. So first of all, he talks about the meek inheriting the earth. The word meek literally translates as gentle, generous, and loving. But it also translates as somebody who is able to keep their strength under control. And my mind goes back to the trial of Jesus, when he's facing Herod, and Herod's goading him, and Herod's saying, come on, then do a miracle. And Jesus doesn't say a word. He keeps his strength under control. We're told in the Garden of Gethsemane, angels came to attend Jesus. Jesus could have called down 10,000 angels to stop himself being crucified. He keeps his strength under control. And when I think of the word meek, and when I look at its use in Scripture, and there are plenty of other verses that back this up, and I put some of them up there, it's all about being Christ-like. It's all about being Christ-like. And the only way to become Christ-like is to spend time with Christ. The only way to become Christ-like is to spend time with Christ. We're told that dogs end up looking like their owners and owners end up looking like their dogs. I don't know how much truth there is in that. I don't have a dog. I'm not an animal person. But I know that if I spend time with Christ, hopefully the result will be that I end up looking more like Christ. The more time I spend with Jesus, the more I'll be able to talk as he talked. I'll be able to walk as he walked and live as he lived. The more time I spend with Jesus. So the question becomes, am I really living a Christ-like life? I remember many, many years ago, walking into a room and meeting a lady, seeing a lady across the room. I'd never met her before. There were 100 people in this room, never met this lady before. She was across the room. She just reminded me of Jesus, even from a distance. And the question becomes, do we remind people of Jesus? Are we living Christ-like lives? Many years ago at young people's camps, I don't know if they still do it, they would give out wristbands with the letters WWJD on at Christian camps. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? The meek are those who are Christ-like. And you can only become Christ-like when you know Christ. Now, this becomes important for the second part of Jesus' statement. All of those other verses, by the way, are verses that tell us that the meek will inherit the earth. So that's the word meek. To be meek is to be Christ-like, according to the Bible. Not weak, but Christ-like. To be like Jesus. The Christ-like, those who know Christ, will inherit the earth. Next slide, thank you. Now, generally speaking, let's say Paul and Alison were to leave me their vast fortune in their will. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. That might be regarded as a gift. If my mum sat back there was to leave me the £5.50 she's got in her pension, and I promise not to spend it all at once, mum, that might be regarded as an inheritance, okay? Normally, an inheritance is something that you get from a family member. You inherit something that's been in the family for a long time. I'm a huge fan of Bargain Hunt, love Bargain Hunt with my lunch. And quite often you'll hear people talking about the fact that the antiques they have were an inheritance from their family members. You watch any of those antique shows. So we inherit something from a family member. So Jesus is saying the meek will inherit the earth. And the question that we don't often ask is, who from? Who will the meek inherit from? The meek will inherit the earth, but who will we inherit it from? Well, Psalm 24 gives us the answer. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So if I'm going to inherit the earth, I'm going to inherit it from the Lord. But that generally means I've got to be in the family. That means I've got to be his son or his daughter. That means I've got to have the Lord as my father to inherit through the family ties. This is what Jesus is saying. I think the disciples would have got this once they stopped and thought about it. To inherit something is to receive something from a family member that's been passed down. The Bible says, Jesus is saying, the Lord is going to pass the earth on to those who are his. We are going to inherit the earth from the Lord because of our family ties. Makes me ask the question, are you in the family? Do you really know Jesus? I was in a church in Essex on Friday. We turned the church into a cinema for the day. Surprise, surprise, we were showing a film. A lady came in from the village. She'd never been in the church before. She said, I don't really know Jesus. I don't really know Jesus. She wasn't in the family. She'd not been born again. Everything about Christianity is about being in the family. Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born into God's family. And when you are, you then get the right to inherit from your father what is his to give away. The earth is the Lord's. We inherit it because of our family ties. Do you know what? This explains a lot about world history. Let's just have a look. I want you to look at all these guys. If you had said to the pharaohs, are you going to inherit the earth? They would have said, absolutely. Egypt is going to inherit the earth. Our people will be here forever. We're going to inherit the earth. If you said to the Romans, are you going to inherit the earth? They would have said, yes, of course we are. Look at us. We control the whole planet. If you'd said to the communists in Eastern Europe, are you going to inherit the earth? Or to the South Korea, the North Koreans, they would say, absolutely, we're going to inherit the earth. It's ours by right. We're going to win it. We're going to conquer it. It's going to be ours. If you'd said to Adolf Hitler, are you going to inherit the earth? He would have said, yes, of course I am. The fatherland is going to win the war. If you said to Putin, are you going to inherit the earth? I bet he'd say, yes, we have a right to inherit the earth. You know what? 2,000 years ago, Jesus told us, and we'll put it up, why all of these people failed. Jesus predicted and told us 2,000 years ago why Hitler wouldn't win World War II. You know? Now, I know that there are people who preach and say, well, we won World War II because God was on our side. That may as well be the case. But Jesus gives us the real reason why Hitler didn't win World War II and why the pharaohs didn't survive and why the Romans didn't survive. Jesus gives us the real reason, because only the meek will inherit the earth. Would you have called Hitler meek? He wasn't never going to inherit the earth. Never. Would you have called the Pharaohs meek? Or the Romans meek? They were never going to inherit the earth. Jesus told us 2,000 years ago. I don't know if anybody preached on this during World War II. I wasn't around. But I hope they did. Because during World War II, there should have been dozens of sermons. Hitler won't win because he's not meek. He's not going to inherit the earth. Jesus told us, though. That lady on that TV program that morning who was so scared clearly didn't know the words of Jesus. The meek will inherit the earth, the Christ-like, those who are in the family, because the earth is the Lord's and he gives it to his children. So the meek are going to inherit the earth. But just as we draw towards a conclusion, not this one. Not this one. You see, the problem with this earth that we live on right now is that it's broken. It's damaged. There are volcanoes. There are earthquakes. There are tsunamis. There are a million natural disasters. There are weeds in my garden. Thank you, Adam, very much indeed. There are weeds in my garden. This earth that we live on is broken. It's stained, it's tainted. When God made it in the beginning, he looked at the world and said, yeah, it's very, very good. It's good. It's not good anymore. This earth is broken. This earth is cracked. Ever had that experience, those of you who are parents? Your child has a favourite toy and they break it. Maybe I've had this with my daughter. They break it. Maybe they've got a bike that they love and they crash it. And they come to you and they're crying. They say, Mum, Dad, I've broken my favourite toy. What do you say? Your immediate response is, I'll get you a new one. We'll get you a new one. Many years ago, I remember being up in the Orkney Islands, in Shetland. Some people might say, best place for me. I phoned home. My wife said, Andy, you better brace yourself. Amy's guinea pig has died. Amy's guinea pig's died. I heard myself say, don't worry, we'll get her a new one. This earth is broken. This earth is cracked. God intends his children to inherit the earth. But not this one, because this one isn't good enough for his children anymore. Which is exactly why, as we'll see, right at the end of the Bible, we're told there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Because this one's not good enough for God's children to inherit. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I got in trouble a few years ago. I was preaching at a church I was minister of. And I said, put your hands up if you think you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Every hand went up. All wrong. All wrong. Read Revelation 22. The Bible says there's going to be a new heaven. Yes, but there's going to be a new earth. And it says the city of God comes down out of heaven onto the new earth, and God dwells among men. There's going to be a new earth, folks. And that will be our inheritance, because this one isn't good enough for God's children, so he's going to make us a new one. That's how much he loves us. By the way, in Revelation 22, I used to get disappointed, because it says there's no sea. Now, I grew up in Western Supermare. I love the sea. Actually, in the topsy-turvy world of the book of Revelation, when it talks about the sea, it means the world of politics. Get this, there'll be no politicians on the new earth. Somebody say hallelujah. No general elections on the new earth. No Richie Sunaks, no Keir Starmers. Thank the Lord. It's going to be great. It's going to be, and that's where we're going to live. And that's where God's going to come and live among us. Read it carefully. You don't even need to read it carefully. It's there in black and white. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth for God's meek children to inherit. So this message this morning is simply a message that says, don't be scared. Don't be frightened. Don't be worried about the future. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus told us exactly what's going to happen. He told us why Putin won't win and Hamas won't win and Hitler won't win. There's going to be a new earth for God's children. So, sitting there on that hillside that day, if we could just bring up the next one. Yeah, this is what I wanted to get to. I just wanted to ask the question, how does all of this make you feel? How does all of this make you feel? I wish I could have jumped into the TV that day. I wish I could have driven down to London and gone to the ITV studios and got hold of that lady and said, look, if you're trusting Christ, if you're part of God's family, you don't need to be scared, because the meek are going to inherit the earth and it's going to be a brand new one, not this tired, rotten, old, damaged one. I wish I could have done that. How does this make you feel? I hope it makes you want to come to Christ. I hope it makes you want to live more for Jesus. I hope it makes you want to get out there and tell more people about Jesus. I hope it encourages you and excites you. I hope it gives you something to look forward to. Pull back the curtains tomorrow morning, maybe the day when God decides I've had enough of this old earth, my children need a new one. Tomorrow may be the day. Who knows? I hope it makes you want to live for Jesus. I hope it makes you want to be part of the family and glad you're part of the family if you are, and put your faith and trust in him. So let's just look at that picture again. Sitting there on that hillside that day, our group leader read the words, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." 2,000 years ago, possibly on that same hillside, Jesus uttered those words for the first time. And they are words of blessing, they are words of hope, they are words of encouragement. They are words that remind us of our future. If we are in Christ, we are the meek, and we will inherit the earth. Not this one, but a brand new one. Let's pray together. Just want you to ask yourself the question, am I part of that inheritance? Will I be sharing in that inheritance because I belong to Jesus? Because I belong to the Father? And if you do, just take a moment to say thank you for all that's in store. Take a moment to say thank you for the inheritance that is yours because you're in Christ.